All right, today, number 8 in our list of 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit. Everybody's been anticipating next Sunday, number 9. I've had so many people tell me I can't wait to get to 9 because I need that one so bad. Self-control. But before we get to that one, here's another one that could be one of the most misunderstood fruits of the Holy Spirit. And keep in mind as we get started, because some of you maybe haven't been here for these 8 weeks that we've talked about this. So let me just back up and say, these, as Paul tells us, are fruits of the Holy Spirit. So these are things that are produced, not that you do, you just work a little harder, try a little more, and whatever. No, they're allowing by surrendering to the Holy Spirit for Him to produce fruit in your life. And that's so helpful because I don't know about you, I need all the help the Holy Spirit can give to me. Are you with me on that, right? I need me some help from the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit wants to develop these fruits in our lives. And it's so powerful that Paul, it's just miraculous that this has been preserved for us for all this time so that we can allow it to speak to our lives today. Galatians is where we have been. Galatians 2 verses that we've been focused on for 8 weeks now. Galatians 5 and 22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness." We looked at last week. That's another misunderstood one. "And gentleness" is today's word. And then next week, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So today, I want to focus on this gentleness. And so I need all the dudes not to check out right now, okay? Because some of you may be like, this is soft. This just sounds like it's just going to be ooey, gooey, cushy kind of thing. And it's not, all right? And let me just start out by saying how it's not is because watch what Jesus says about himself and how he describes himself. In Matthew 11, 29, Jesus said to his followers, "Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am" what? "I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." So Jesus self-describes himself as gentle. But yet, when we read about Jesus, just about 3 years or so of his life that's captured for us, some of the instances of Jesus, we find him confronting demonic power and overcoming it and commanding it. We find him turning over tables in the church, in the temple. We find Jesus getting violent with the devil as far as just telling him, "No, you're out. You be gone today." And so with all of that, knowing and reading about all that, all those stories, how can Jesus describe himself as gentle when in some instances you might think of him as Rambo? Now, some of you don't even know who Rambo is, all right? How many know what Rambo is? Okay, there's my audience. But for some of you, you want to go back and look and see who Rambo was, and all, because he was like a man's man and kind of thing. And so here's how gentleness works. The root word of gentleness in the Greek is praoutes. Everybody say that with me. Praoutes. Say it one more time. Praoutes. Okay, you can say it at lunch now, all right? But it's not important that you know that word. I want you to know what that word means. And here's what it means. It means to have gentle strength, humility, and meekness. So it's not weakness, it's meekness. In other words, it's power under control. It's strength in submission to God and in consideration of other people. Think of Jesus. I mean, he's fully God, but yet he was fully human. He came humbly into the form of humanity and fully submitted to his Father's will. He would talk about that. He would say, I don't do anything but what my Father tells me to do. And on the cross, when you look at Jesus on the cross, it's the perfect picture of strength under control. Right? On the cross, Jesus is displaying for us submission to God. He had already prayed in the garden, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And even though he could have called 10,000 angels, even though he could have come off the cross, he did not. And so Jesus' posture helps us to have a picture of what gentleness looks like as we study the life of Jesus. Because Jesus didn't have to flaunt his power, did he? As a matter of fact, it seems like when people wanted him to flaunt it the most, he wouldn't. And it was very frustrating to people. Now, how many know it takes inner strength to pull that off? When people are pulling at you, how many know it's sometimes challenging to not pull back against them? And so when we look through the Bible, here's a key. As you read through the Bible, you'll find that God looks for people like this. Okay? He looks for people like this. And when he was going to choose a person to lead over 1 million people, perhaps 2 million people, out of captivity and into the promised land, he found Moses, who was maybe one of the more unlikely people, who thought, you know, God, you need to pick somebody else. I'm not the one. I can't do it. I can't speak well. There's no way. And the Bible describes Moses as the most humble person on the planet at that time. And isn't it just like God, when he's going to put somebody in front of one of the most powerful men of the day, Pharaoh, he chooses Moses. See, and when David comes on the scene, there's a giant. And why wouldn't he pick Saul? Why wouldn't he pick some of these other people, some of these amazing athletes that were part of the Israeli army? But instead, he picks a teenage boy with a slingshot. It's amazing. But David had humility. He says, it's not about me. And he even declared it to the giant. I want you to know, I don't come in my name. I come in his name. Right? Mary, when God said, hey, I'm going to birth a child unlike any other child. I'm going to bring God to earth. And when he looked around, he found Mary, who was like, who am I? I'm like a peasant girl. I'm not royalty. You want to do this through me? If that's what you want to do, I surrender. to you. And I want somebody to know today, that's who God's still looking for. You want to be used of God? You want God to just really be able to use your life? Get a hold of this fruit that we're talking about today. Because in a world that lives on edge, how many have noticed that? Like, it didn't take much for some people. You just have to get a little over the line in the roundabout, right? And they're ready to just come out of the car and, you know, let's just take care of this out here in the middle of this roundabout, you know? And it's like, okay, you know, I didn't see you there. I'm sorry my cart bumped yours in Target today, you know? But we don't have to fight. Really don't. And in a culture like that, God calls us not to match the harshness that comes against us. You know, have you ever gone to the home show? And my wife and I sometimes will go to the home show. There's good and bad to the home show, all right? And the good part is you can go and just see some amazing things. And you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't even know they made that. I need that, you know? I didn't even know that existed. And look at all this. And it's just beautiful and all. But then the negative is I live in a dump, you know? I think, oh my gosh, you know, we don't have granite countertops. You know, our kitchen, you know, it's, oh my goodness. And we don't have, you know, the special flooring and we don't have warmers in our tile in the bathroom, you know, so our feet are nice and toasty when we get out of the shower. We don't, but they make that stuff, you know. And here's the thing, it's kind of goals, right? It's things where you see, okay, that's a model. And we need a model to be able to reach after, because in a culture that settles for edginess, in a culture that settles for, well, I just lost it, you know, hey, who wouldn't with what happened? And we just make excuses. In a culture like that, we need a new model. And I want to submit to you that if you claim to be a Christian, if you claim to be a Christ follower, you have a model, and his name is Jesus, okay? His name is Jesus. And so we sang about him, but it's not enough to sing about him. We need to look like him. And so to do that, and our culture is just begging for us to be like this. You know, they're hoping we will be like this, strength in surrender. And Jesus is our model, and he says, I am gentle. So how do we get there? How do we grow more? If this is a fruit that we need to grow in our lives through the help of the Holy Spirit, how do we grow more gentleness? Well, gentleness, first of all, if you're taking notes, and I hope you are, gentleness comes from awareness. It comes from awareness. You know, this is how self-awareness works. Paul writes about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He says, for God, who said, let there be light in the darkness, has made his light shine in our hearts so that we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face. He says, if you want to see God's glory, if you want to understand who God is and his glory, it's in the face of Jesus Christ. We now have this light shining in our hearts. But here's the problem. We ourselves are like fragile clay jars, containing this great treasure. This makes it clear, however, that our great power is from God and not from ourselves. So we have this earthen vessel, and so I brought a little cup up here today to help illustrate this. You know, when you get done running a half marathon, okay, how many have ever done that? Run at least a half marathon. Oh, yeah, there's a few of you. How many have ever, let me back it off. How many have ever done a 5K? Okay, there's some more hands, all right? So how many have ever done something strenuous, like mow your yard when it's 95 or whatever? Okay, yeah, there's a few more of you. And so when you finish a race, and you are hot, and you are, you know, depleted, and you're needing some fluid intake, and they hand you a paper cup filled with water, listen, you don't say, "Do you not have a better glass?" You know? I mean, I paid big money for this race, you know? And so where is my etched in glass cup? Maybe my name on it or something, you know? I just don't understand. No, listen, you don't care because it isn't about the cup. It isn't about the cup. It isn't about how great the cup is. It isn't how wonderfully made the cup is. It's what's in the cup that makes the difference, right? And so for us, that's what Paul is saying. He says, we're just a paper cup. That's all we are. We're just kind of a stamped out paper cup made of the earth, earthen vessels. But our value, listen to me, church, our value is from what's inside of us. We're unlike any other creation God ever made. Goes back to the where we talked about a Holy Spirit breathing into man, the breath of God. And so that makes us different. So here's what happens when you realize that, and you realize that the glory goes to God. Then on social media, you're not out there saying, "Well, our family once again paid for someone's meal. It's just what we do. It's just the kind of people we are. We're just generous, and we try to be humble about it. But here's a picture of the receipt, and you know, and here we are with the person that was so, they're weeping, you know, and we're just glad to be that kind of person, to be that kind of family." Let me tell you something. The problem there is the glory goes to you. See, and that's not how we're supposed to live. All glory, all honor, all praise, Paul said, should go to God. See, when we brag, we're bragging on him. And when we do, he says, then it shines out of us. And God gets the glory. You know, it's because of what's in us. It's kind of like this. Have you ever noticed, maybe you've met somebody like this. They're a pregnant person, you know, female, by the way, is what that is. And just want to clarify, okay? Just today you need to clarify, all right? So, you know, she's pregnant, but maybe she's been a smoker all of her life. But all of a sudden, she's not smoking. You ever known anybody like this? And she's like, "No, I'm not going to smoke until he or she is born. I'm not doing it." What is that? What does that? Let me tell you something. It's what's within her that changes everything, right? See, it's because in her mind, I'm carrying treasure. And while I'm carrying treasure, I have to act different than I normally would act. And I want somebody to know today that every time you go to work, every time you go to school, every time you leave your home, you are carrying treasure with you, according to Paul. Therefore, you act different. You live different. You are different as a result. See, and Jesus, he was all powerful, but he wasn't careless. You know, he didn't just flaunt. He's very calculated. And in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 10, it says, yes, the sovereign Lord is coming in power. Now, he's prophesying Jesus is going to come. And this is amazing. I love the book of Isaiah. I just finished reading it here recently in my journey of just personal reading the Bible. I read it for myself, okay? Not just to teach you the Bible, but I read it for myself. I need it for me, okay? And so in my personal reading, I've been reading Isaiah. I just got through it. And yes, the sovereign Lord is coming in power. He tells this way in advance. He will rule with a powerful arm. Everybody go, Yeah, grunt. Yeah. See, he's gonna whoop up on some people, right? And that's what Israel thought. He is gonna throw these people, our enemies. And he brings his reward with him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will carry the lambs in his arms, holding them close to his heart. Now check this out. He will gently lead the mother sheep with their young. Who else has held the oceans in his hand? Who has measured off the heavens with his fingers? Who else knows the weight of the earth or has weighed the mountains and hills on a scale? Do you see that? He says, Jesus could come and just do whatever he wants to. He holds the whole world in his hands. And he could just do whatever he wanted to do. And if somebody offended him, boop, you're gone. Okay. Yeah. I bet you're not going to do that again, are you? You know, he could just do that, but he never did. I mean, read it. It's like, wow, all that power and yet gentleness. Now, I want you to ask a question of yourself. Where in your life do you need more gentleness? Is it at work? Is it at home? Is it in your relationships as a family? Where do you need more of that? Here's the second thing. If you're going to have more gentleness, if you're going to grow it, gentleness comes from identity. You're secure in who you are. Now, I think this is fun, but and sometimes we'll just play games of where people come from. You know, you kind of know people by their accents. You know what I'm talking about? There's people that you're like, are you from? Because they just have this accent. And it goes so far. Accents are so powerful that sometimes my wife, she'll be on the phone, and I can tell who she's talking to. Because her voice changes. She gets Southern all of a sudden. And she, you know, her words come out a little different. and her laugh is a little different. And I can tell, okay, she's talking to our good friends that live in Kentucky. Or I can tell, oh, she's talking to our sister-in-law who was raised in Louisiana. And different, I almost accurately predict who she's talking to by the accent. Now, I'll tell something on me, okay, because fair game. So my family loves this and hates this because when I go into a Mexican restaurant to order, something comes over me. I don't know what it is, but all of a sudden I say, and I have that with the chicken. Chicken? What? Did you just say chicken or did you say chicken? You know, and I said chicken, you know. I said chicken. No, I didn't. I said chicken, you know. And the reason why is because the person is talking to me with an accent. And so I just kind of want to lean into that and just go that way. And here's the point. The point is, in the spiritual, you have a home, and it's not your address here on the planet. You have a home, you have another father, you have another home, and gentleness is the accent of heaven. If you want to know where people are from, you can kind of know from their accent. And if you are from heaven, if heaven lives in you, then there ought to be an accent of gentleness that comes out of you. See, gentleness, it helps us so that we don't have to give in to vulgarity or volume or veins popping out or anything like that. Because we live with the revelation that we don't have to show ourselves. We don't have to bow up and match the harshness with harshness that our culture might bring to us. But instead, like Jesus, who faced as much harshness as anyone will ever face in a lifetime, then he responded with humility and gentleness. See, when you know who you are, church, you speak differently. You don't need volume, you don't need vulgarity, and you don't need veins popping out because you have victory inside. You are chosen by God, redeemed by His grace, filled with His Holy Spirit, that you should show forth the praises of Him who's called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Proverbs 15:1 says it this way: a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word, you guys know this, it just stirs it up. You know, if you say back what you're feeling or whatever, it just stirs it up. But again, Jesus, He's in the boat, and this storm comes up, and everybody's yelling. Everybody's like, Peter, come on, buddy, get that water out of here. Come on, everybody, harder, get it out. Jesus, what are you doing asleep? Don't you care that we're going to die out here? And Jesus, He doesn't get up and say, oh, you storm. Oh, I cast you out in the name of who I am, okay? I cast you out. No. It appears that He just gets up and says, peace, be still. He doesn't get worked up. You know, everybody else is all worked up. How about at work, at home, where everybody's worked up and all, but you just, peace, be still. You just walk with a peace in your heart. See, he had strong words to speak, but in a gentle spirit. And that's how you do it at school. That's how you do it at work. That's how you do it at friends. You do what Paul says in another place, speak the truth in love. See, isn't it the attitude behind it that makes the difference? So let me encourage you, church, change your accent. Change your accent. And here's the third thing. Gentleness comes from forgiveness. It comes from forgiveness. Listen, God in all his power did not use it to judge us. But instead, he used his power to forgive us. And in the horror of the cross, hanging on the cross, again, Jesus looks at the people who actually did it to him, and he says, Father, forgive them. Forgive them. He, in other words, he didn't match their anger. He managed it. He didn't copy what they did. He covered what they did. He didn't duplicate what they gave to him. He demonstrated what gentleness could be. And in a world that begs an eye for an eye, it stands out when you're not like that. When you are different than that. Let me read another scripture, Galatians 6. It's the very next chapter from the one that we've been in. Here's what Paul says in verse 1. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly, listen to this, should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Don't echo what's going on around you. Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. See, some of you, you've not seen this because maybe in your home, the loudest person won. You know, maybe in your home, even there were beyond strong words, there were strong actions. I'm sorry for that, and I don't know what your model of this might have been. But I want to, again, church, tell us that our model is only Jesus. That's who we are modeling after. And so what we, and what helps us to do this, Paul says, is when you realize just what a piece of work you were when God showed up in your life. And by the way, continues to every day. How many are glad for that, right? Let me say it this way. He's not just the God of the second chance, but he's the God of the 200th chance, right? 2,000. And so he gently restores us. And I want to close with this. Jesus, one time, you know, people are ready to put this woman on social media. They're ready to, you know, put her picture out there and caught in the act of adultery. Whew. Wow. That's a big sin. Wow, look here. Here she is. Everybody, got her out here for everybody to see. And really, she deserves to die for that. That's just terrible. And Jesus, you remember what Jesus did? Jesus is the only person there that could condemn her. He's the only one who could say, well, I've never done that. I've never even come close to that. He's the only person who in pure holiness could have condemned this woman. But instead of bringing condemnation, you remember what he did? He brought restoration. And I think that's what our world needs today. And instead of condemnation, you know, let's not be known as the people that stir it up, you know, and well, I saw this and whatever, and it's terrible and whatever. No. Let's be people who restore. Let me say it this way, and then we're going to pray. Religion wants to rub it in. Jesus wants to rub it out. And Philippians 4:5 says we need to let our gentleness be evident to all. Wow. Your boss? That irritating employee? That coworker? That neighbor? That relative that you hope will not make the family reunion? To them? Who have you removed from your all? Who have you removed from your all? Because that's the challenge. This is for everybody. It's for that guy in the roundabout that ought to be paying better attention. It's for that person at work that they goofed up. It's for that person that you live with that just can get on that last nerve. It's for everyone. And the world is waiting to see if you and I will be like Jesus. And I don't know about you, but I need God's help to do that. Let's pray. Father, help us today because we need your help. God, first of all, we want to thank you and praise you that you don't treat us as we deserve. You give us what we need. And so, Lord, as we look at your life, just as you came gently to us, help us to come gently to those around us. If you're here and you're claiming to be a Christ follower, a Christian, or whatever that looks like in your terminology, but you claim to walk the ways of Jesus, but maybe you could use a little more help in that. And maybe in your life, there's challenges that makes it hard. And maybe you've already blown it even this last week or whatever. But today, you just say, God, I want to be gentle like you. I want to have my strength under control. I want to be in submission to you so that I know who I am. And it's not about me, it's about you in me. And greater are you that's in me than he that's in the world. So I don't have to prove anything. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to get louder. I don't have to scream longer. I don't have to do any. I don't have to show out or whatever. I just need to show you. If you're here today and you say, Craig, I want to be that kind of Christian. I want to be that kind of Christ follower that exemplifies gentleness to the world. Would you just raise your hand all over this place? Yeah, there's a lot of us that need help. Father, today, breathe on us again. And just help us to maybe this week take a pause before we get all riled up, before we get ready with what we're going to say back, before we bow up and want to show how powerful we are or whatever that might look like. Lord, help us to be more like you. And help us to understand that we're carrying something precious. We're carrying the glory of God within us. And that precious cargo that we're carrying deserves us to be careful about our words, to be careful about how we respond, careful about things we do. And so, Lord, help us today. Help us to go out of this place better and different because of the help of your Holy Spirit. While we're still praying, there could be those that are here today that maybe you're kind of like that woman that was brought before Jesus. If we were going to put your sins on the big screen today and all, you'd just be horrified. And I would be too if I had to do that. But Jesus didn't come to put us on display and all. He came to take our sins away from us, to change us, and to help us to be more like him. And if you are here today and you say, well, Craig, I don't know how all that works, but what I do know is I would love a clean slate today. I would love to just have God come into my life and start my life over, like a reboot of sorts. I would like to just start from here on and have him working in my life. If you would like that here today, if you'd like to know God personally in the depths of the power of his Holy Spirit, you can. And if you'd like that, just raise your hand right now. Just raise it up all over this room. Just raise it up and just say, yeah, that's me. That's me. I need God in my life. I need God's work of the Holy Spirit in my life. And while you're doing that online, just type the word decided in the chat, the word decided. And we'll be praying for you as well. As a matter of fact, everyone pray this prayer. No one prays alone. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. I believe through his death, he paid for all my sin so that I can be forgiven. Today, I accept that sacrifice as payment for all my sin. Wash me and cleanse me. Give me a new start. From this day forward, as much as I know how, I surrender my life to you. Thank you for accepting me. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, church. Let's welcome those who prayed that prayer in here and online. Listen, there are words that you can text right where you are as a next step. We already have people signed up for our next baptism. You can join those who are going to make a declaration on the outside of what God's done on the inside through baptism. You can do that by just texting that, or all the other next steps are on the screen there for you. Also on your communication or connection card, there are two boxes. One says, I committed my life to Christ today. You can check that box if that's you. Or if you recommitted your life to Jesus Christ today, you can check that box as well and put it in the buckets with your legible information in a few moments. See how I worked that back in. And also, across the hall, this is huge. We have a Next Steps room, and we have an elder over there that who'd love to just talk to you about baptism, what that looks like, or maybe what's it like to get into a small group? What's this growth track about, and how do I get involved in that? They'd love to talk to you about your next step, and we all have a next step. So let's stand to our feet today. How many are glad for Jesus, right? Oh, woo! If it weren't for Jesus, right, where would you be? I have no idea where I'd be, but it probably wouldn't be up here if it weren't for Jesus. And I'm so thankful, so grateful today. I want our prayer partners to come stand across the front. If you need prayer on your way out today, instead of going that way, you come this way and find someone to pray with you. I think we have another food truck here today as well. So that gives you an opportunity to stay a little bit and to have fellowship with different people. And if maybe you say, well, I don't know very many people in the church. If you don't get here till about the time we start and you leave as soon as it's over, most of us are not fast enough to get to your car before you do. So today, maybe just stay and have some fellowship with people around you. Let me pray a blessing over you. Father, our nation and our community needs what we talked about today. And so, God, in the face of just anger, hostility, and people on edge, may we not be like that. May we reflect you. May we carry this wonderful thing in this earthen vessel, the glory of God, so that those around us will be drawn to you. Holy Spirit, draw everyone who needs prayer today down to this altar. Do miracles in this house. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.